got me out for something.
Really?
Yeah. Yo, what's up, dude?
This season, I was like, shit, I don't want to look like a dumbass when I go up. Started watching your videos. Came up with a little good idea. Follow my buddy over there.
Dude, thank you, dude. That makes my day.
Dojo is like, when I started teaching, coaching, the guy that, like, taught me everything I knew was... His name's Gordon Robbins.
Yeah.
And he founded USASA.
Okay.
And he would always talk about Bud, like, all the time. And he'd be like, you know, do you think that Bud's up there telling Sean White to do this? He's like, he definitely is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when I got out there, I was doing park crew at North Star originally. And I was like, yo, Bud. I was like, Gordon Robbins told me to say, what's up if I ever met you? He's like, oh, dude. And we just got into talking about it.
Yeah.
And then he had me come be the... The salt boy for Sean.
No way,
they
dude.
They had this private pipe at North Star.
Yeah.
And Sean was trying to learn triples.
Okay.
And nobody was allowed back there. But I was the salt boy, so I was the only ones. It was me and Bud and Sean, and then Toby Miller came in a little bit later. But yeah, just like watching, you know, Bud would film Sean, and then he'd come down and be like, okay, look. And then he'd go right over the video, try, you know, do this a little bit more. You know, this a little bit or that or whatever.
Yeah.
It was just cool to like be a part of that and like watch it.
Yeah. And some of the stories that he told were just insane about Sean. Just like, there's one story about the Vancouver Olympics and how the pipe, like the first day of the pipe, it was like 3 foot moguls in the training. And it was just a gnarly half pipe. And so like, Bud would watch like each competitor go down and just be demoralized by the condition of the pipe, and they wouldn't come back up for another run. And then here's Sean doing his run and just doing it over and over again. And he said that that mental, like, he basically, it was over that day.
Yeah.
Like, qualies didn't matter. Like, Sean was going to win that Olympics because of just like the mental aspect of like, I can do this and all you guys are quitting. I'm not quitting. Like, I'm going to take over. But, yeah. But King Dude, so if you guys haven't been hearing, we've been talking about the new bomb hole that just came out with Bud Keane, great halfpipe coach currently for Canada, but coach greats like Sean White has been in the game for a long time. But welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Snowboarding presented by Mountain Vibes. And today we are in the depths of the Selkirk Lodge at Schweitzer Mountain. And this week we have had the Gilson Snowboard Crew up here. With Snowboard Jesus and our guest, who is a legend, huge TikTok following, huge Instagram following, David, aka Half Cap King. What's up, brother?
What's
stoked to have you, dude.
Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah. How have you been liking Schweitzer so far?
This place is amazing.
Right?
I feel like the vibe of everybody, like all the workers and just like people on the hill, like I haven't seen a bad vibe once.
No.
Everybody's stoked on it. You know, the weather's probably not the best. But everybody's still out there getting it all day and just like having a great time.
Yeah, I mean it's been pretty, you know, bare bones for pretty much the entire country, honestly, especially the West Coast. We're not used to this kind of, you know, spring like conditions this long, but you know, Tahoe's about to get hit.
Yeah, I'm stoked to get home for that.
Right?
I feel like after last year,
get a little spoiled.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a legendary year for the Sierra, dude.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Probably more snow than I've ever rode in my life.
All right.
My legs are getting burnt out from pow days, nonstop pow days.
Got in great shape, I bet.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, so let's take it back, dude. So originally, where are you from?
I'm from Vermont.
Okay.
Yep. Okemo's my home resort.
Okay.
Lived in a little town called Baltimore growing up. Just a little... A small little cottage, really. We had an outhouse till I was 12.
Okay.
Had to hike up the hill, you know, to get home. We'd park at my grandfather's. It's about a half a mile hike to the house. They had electricity running from my grandfather's house, so that was money.
little bare bones cabin.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah. Just
I grew up in the woods.
And so, like, how were you kind of introduced to snowboarding? What's the story behind how you got into it?
My grandmother worked in the cafeteria. She ran the cafe at Okemo when I was a kid. And she would kind of like babysit me more or less. So she'd bring me to Ski Week. So at 3, they put me in on the weekends to do skiing. And then you know, I was doing that every weekend essentially when I was growing up. And then at the age of 10, it was the first time that they had allowed snowboarding on the hill because they didn't allow it before that.
Okay.
So 10 years old, first day my grandmother went and put me in a lesson, and I loved it. So she bought me a snowboard that day out of the shop. It was an apple hammer juice.
Okay. I never heard of that.
Nobody has, but you can find them. They're on like eBay.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's kind of where it all started. And then my grandmother, you know, left the job at when I was 13 or 14. So took a couple years because my family's not affluent, so they couldn't really afford for me to do that. And then, let's say 15, 16, I just became an instructor.
Yeah.
Teaching kids because I wanted to be up on the hill, you know. So take the bus up, get on the bus like 5 in the morning, get to the resort by like 7. You know, then the resort opens at 8, and then I was work all day, and then take the bus home and just do it every weekend, you know, after
yeah.
I could. And then, yeah, I didn't have a bank account, so they'd give me a check. And,
okay.
And the ski shop would allow me to spend half my check, and then they'd give me the rest back in cash.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so every time a paycheck came out, I'd always come out with some new snowboard gear, and I'd get yep. a little bit of cash in.
Put it back into where you work and
yeah,
support.
Yeah, I was addicted to that. You know, I'd work all day, and then you'd get like 45 minutes, 3:15, we're done. I'd like book it out the door, and okay. I'd just like go lap as hard as I could for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you always got, dude, you always got, again, like, you know, being up here, you know, sometimes, you know, instructors get, you know, a little burnt out, but
yeah.
I've never been that way, dude. It's always like, go, 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 let's go ride,
yeah.
let's go progress, let's go improve, but yeah, dude.
Yeah, they had the T-bar next to the half pipe.
Okay.
So that was about a 5-minute lap right there, so I just lap that sometimes.
Nice. Dude, some of the stuff right now is crazy with, like, the rope toe game in the
yeah.
Midwest and stuff.
Dude, those guys kill it.
It's like 200 like reps a day, like 200 runs some of these kids are getting, and it's like you see it too, like
the progression level.
Yeah, and all the people are coming from places like that,
yeah.
you know, all these new young guns, especially in the rails. It's just, it's awesome, dude. So yeah, you're working at the mountain in Vermont. At what point, like, did you move out to Tahoe immediately, because you're at North Star right now? So
yeah, so I was 19. My dad was like, you know, you can't live at home anymore.
Okay.
You're not going to make a living snowboarding. You know, you need to do something. He called a Navy recruiter on me.
Oh,
and
wow.
didn't tell me until the day of. And
oh.
I was like, there's no way I'm going to the military, you know? That's what I
thought.
Cutthroat. It was. And, yeah, so a Navy recruiter came over, and then they're like, so what are you going to do? And I was like, oh, I'm not going to do that, you know? And then, you know, kind of broke it down to me that I'd have to move out. And so, yeah, so I joined the Navy and did 4 years, 5 days. Went right back home.
Hey, guys, I'm sorry if the audio is off on this. There's some overlap in some smaller videos that I had to chop up so that I was able to send the files over from my phone onto my laptop for this podcast. And also, the last about a minute or so of the podcast is missing. Just due to storage issues on my phone, kind of threw it together up at Schweitzer with David, and I'm so stoked that he was able to join.
So we came out here without a place to stay, or out there, and then, yeah, the day that we got in, had a couple grand in our pockets, and found a place to stay right away on the ski resort.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we moved in that night that we came out.
So many great stories like that,
too. Yeah. We just had to do it. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I've had homies up at Hood that just lived that life, you know, like up at the mountain, up at the Scummets for the employee
yeah.
housing, splitting it between 5-6 other people.
Yeah,
living low, and it's just, it's awesome. Like
yeah.
living at the mountain is just like so sick, dude.
Yeah, I feel like yeah, I always want to live on a resort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and North Star, I mean, they have that one continuous progression run that ends down into the half pipe, I heard. I can't remember the park.
Park, yeah.
The park run.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, their park out there is so good. Mike Chabani, I think his name is.
Okay, yeah.
He's been, you know, running the park, and I mean, they're just so on top of it. You know, he's got like a rotation of guys going all day that's just like cleaning everything up, and himself, you know, he's out there like raking
yeah.
and stuff. You don't see that too often.
Yeah. Great, yeah, great shaper, man.
But they're always like changing things too. Like, you know, they'll have certain areas where rails, boxes, or snow features are every season. And it's pretty well made up, because it's like when you first get up there, it's like a rail line here, and a little bit lower is like a box line or like a snow feature line, and it kind of goes that way until you get to the jump section.
Yeah.
And they're always switching stuff up, like, yeah, every week.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there could be some ideas taken up here for some of those parks. Like, like, not trying to like hate too much, but the parks, they're fine up here, but it's just the progression, you know, isn't there like in some of the other.
Yeah, I feel like that layout of like how that, you know, that park is just amazing.
I'm spoiled. I started at Timberline, so you understand. So yeah, you come out, dude, and you're with the homies, like. Was it always Tahoe for you, or were you looking at maybe some other spots on the West Coast?
I didn't know anything about the West Coast. I saw I wanted to come west and go ride. You know, I heard so much about it.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about it. But yeah, I stayed for the summer, and I just love it, dude.
Yeah.
There's so much to do. You know, in Tahoe, like, back home, there's, you know, there's mosquitoes everywhere, there's ticks.
Yep.
There's none of that in Tahoe.
No.
In the wintertime, you know, it's never really below 30. In the summertime, it doesn't get above 90. 300 days of sunshine a year.
Yeah.
You got the mountain, you got the lake.
Yeah.
You 45 minutes from Reno if you want to do any city type of stuff. Another 4 hours, you're in San Francisco. There's just so much to offer.
Yeah.
And then South Lake's like a completely different thing.
Yeah.
It's like a metropolitan area on the lake.
Right.
With a gondola that comes right down to the road, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's just like you describing that, like that's also why like I kind of love this area up here. Like they advertise Spokane past 300 days of sunshine. I don't know if that's true. I know, but like places like that, like Bend and here, like we have 5 resorts within an hour and a half of Spokane up here, and it's just crazy. And then during the summertime, you know, it's the lakes, you're out there all the time just having fun. Like, you're really big into wakeboarding.
Wake surfing.
Wakes, okay.
Love it.
So yeah, it's like, yeah. It's just like when you have a place like that, it's just so sick. Yeah, I love to hear that, dude. But yeah, so you come out to Tahoe, like, what was your first impression of Tahoe? So like, you're coming up and you see like Tahoe for like the first time in person, like, what was that like?
I mean, it was just grand. I didn't think it would be that big, you know?
Right.
I didn't know too much about it, really. But yeah, I mean, my first impression was like, there's just so much to do, you know, all in this one area.
Yeah.
And then as I was here for a little bit, I was able to, you know, see that, like, the job options, there was a lot more. It was a lot easier to, like, make a living and stuff like that than it was back home, because everything was so scarce back there, I felt like. But yeah, I think just, like, the natural beauty of it, like, I just wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
You know, like, 60 feet or so of... of like clarity in the lake that you know you can just see right down. It's
down
so
the bottom.
You know, it's beautiful. So it's beauty definitely captured.
Yeah.
Experience.
So are you okay? So let's talk about. So when you got to North Star, did you immediately start instructing there when you got out?
So I had a lot of. I haven't talked to anybody about this. Back home at Okemo, they give you. This is before Vail. They give you a 50-cent raise every year you came back.
Okay.
They give you a 50-cent raise every 60 hours you worked.
Okay.
Request pay was, for like request lessons, was $20 an hour on top of what you're making.
Wow.
You didn't have to like go through this system, like do 25, 40, 50 hours and then you get $5 extra, you know? It was just like 20 bucks an hour on top of whatever you're making.
Okay.
So I was making a ton of money. The incentive to do the AASI wasn't huge. But what they did was they'd pay you to go to clinics.
Yeah.
And you could do like 20-something clinics and get paid for them. So I was constantly like to ride, I would just be in clinics nonstop. And that's where I like really started, like I was like taking level 3s and 2s and nonstop.
Yeah.
And so because of like the knowledge that I had of teaching and how much I had done it already, I tried to like become sober instructor my first season, but they were just, they already had too many. They had a bunch of like level 3s. Burton Academy, ever heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so originally it was like hand-picked like level 2s and 3s all across the country, you know? It was like the greatest thing ever. And anyways, I couldn't get into that, so they're like, we'll hire you as a ski instructor. And I was like, oh shit, like, all right, I'll take whatever job I can get.
Yeah.
It was like $9 an hour, $9.75, I think.
Okay.
It was pretty terrible. But anyways, so first season in Tahoe, I'm instructing the skiing. I'm trying to get into the snowboard side of stuff. So I start taking the clinics with them and just like riding in front of them. And I was trying to like, you know, do a lot of extra stuff, flipping and hand drags. And, you know,
yeah.
Just like random things to be like, oh, he can ride. Let's have him come teach. So okay. That happened. I started teaching probably a month in, I'd say January time that first season. And then the stuff that you see online where I'm like going out and helping people and like giving them random, you know, tips and lessons and stuff like that is because that's the reason why I do that online is because I was doing that to like, to get clients.
Okay.
So what I do is I'd go out and I'd give some people some advice and I'd be like, you know, you want to take a lesson? I teach right here. Then I'd be like, I'd name drop the Burton Academy. And they'd be like, yeah, sure. You know, and that's why I started because I was doing that for like, to get clients.
Okay.
So what I do is I'd go out, I'd give certain people that way, advice.
Yeah,
and then I'd be like, you know, I was take a lesson. I'd teach right here, and then I'd name drop the Burton Academy. And they'd be like, yeah, sure. You know, and that's how I'd start getting lessons.
Of course.
Try to do the best I could because I didn't have much ranking in there. So started off that way. And then, yeah, the 5-6 years I was there, I was ranked number one. I had the highest request rates, highest return rates of everybody.
Yeah.
And I just, trying to kill it, trying to do the best I could because I loved it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I totally understand that. Like, I'm a snowboard instructor as well. And, you know, that pay scale and all that stuff, that sounds sick. Back at your hometown in Vermont. Like, that's like golden age stuff right there for us. And, you know, as it's kind of gone along, it's kind of like kind of dipped out. And, you know, Ozzy comes in and, you know, you have to get your ed credits, all this stuff. And it's just like it's a lot of time and effort plus money that you have to put out to satisfy them.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And it's like I just wish it would like be covered a little bit more on their end and it was a little more innovative on like allowing people to like the way they get clients and stuff like that. And those repeat clients, because we have instructors up here that have been here forever, up here at Schweitzer, and they have clients booked out for the whole season and stuff. Just from them, like, going up to people, just like you did. Like, going up to people on the hill, being like, hey, you need any help, like, I can give you a tip right here. And if you want to take a lesson from me, here's my card, like, whatever. Yeah. Like, go down and ask for me. And it's super sick, and I don't know. Lately it's just kind of died off and stuff like that. And so, at what point were you kind of like, okay, I'm kind of done with being... like working for the whole resort thing, and I'm gonna like really dive into, you know, this social media and trying to be creative and do my own thing. When was that?
It, the transition wasn't really like that at all.
Oh, really?
Like, I was having issues with the management side of stuff.
Okay.
And I was just like, I want to snowboard and I want to teach it, but you know, these managers are like, the scrutiny, and there was just so many things that were going on.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. And it was probably 2017, 2018.
Okay.
And I was just like, I'm just gonna find another job. You know, everybody else that was working the resorts, they're doing other stuff and riding all day. So let me find a job. So I became a valet. And I did valet for about 8 years total. So whenever that was, that's when I started.
Gig.
Yeah, so I do valet at nights and then I ride all day. And I just do ballet and ride.
Okay.
And I like to make videos, so I was already making videos in 2015.
Yeah.
And I didn't start making snowboarding content until like, I think my first one was like 2019 maybe. There was here and there, but it wasn't like what it is now, you know?
Okay.
And yeah, I remember like watching Casey Willax and be like, you know, I want to do something like this.
Yeah.
And so I took the camera. I had this Insta 360 when it first came out. Nobody was really using it. And I hadn't seen anybody online, you know, posting videos like this. So first few videos didn't do too well, but I was like stoked on it. So I didn't really care, you know. I probably had 50,000 followers.
Okay.
And yeah, I did a turtle roll one day, just a fake fall. Just doing stuff I always do, you know.
Yeah.
And like an hour later, I looked, it's like got like 100,000 views. I was like, oh my God, you know, and 10 million before the end of it. And that's just where things took off.
Yeah.
I just started posting every day. I was doing 3 videos a day. short form, funny stuff, helping people out, like whatever I thought was cool. You know, I'd already go up to people, so I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to keep my camera on because I want to help this guy out. I was like, let me just film it, so, you know, whatever, I don't know if I'll use it or not. But,
right.
And yeah, people loved it, so I was like, all right, well, let me just keep doing this. And people were telling me in the comments, like, I'm learning from this, I'm writing, you know, and I was like, all right, well, let's just keep, like, teaching, you know. And yeah, so and that's kind of how things took off, really. I think, you know, I kind of laid off a little bit on, like, the teaching and just kind of being, you know, a little bit funnier out there, but also, like, showing, like, what a normal day in the life of somebody that's out there riding
really
looks like. It's, I'm not out there doing triples all day, you know.
No. Dude, we rode on Tuesday, and, you know, that was super fun. It was just great to get out there with you and stuff. I mean, you know, we hit the park, and so, like, you know, I don't really send it too hard. I just try to carve and stuff like that. But there's one jump in our park right now. Homie gets in there, pops a little three with a grab, so it's easy and clean, and he's got the 360 in his hand. Like, that was sick. And Mark, and we were riding with a buddy of mine, Marty, who's also an instructor, and Marty goes, dang, dude, that was clean.
I used to be a big park rat. Like,
yeah.
I was looking at every run was park, you know? But the older I'm getting, the more I'm just like, I just want, you know, this is my job now.
Yeah.
So I like.
You don't want to bust yourself.
Yeah. I don't want that to happen. But I really enjoy just like carving. I enjoy like some nice groomers, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like any day up at the mountain is a great day. It doesn't matter the conditions. Like, you make most of everything out there. And that's what's sick. It's like, I see the videos that you do, and you know, like, it's a rainy day, or like, it's a crap day, but you're still out there, you know, stoking everybody out, just going up to them. And I think it's kind of a revolution, like what you started, and then what has grown into, like, you and Snowboard Jesus doing. And just going up to people is so dope, because we all know what it's like to our first day at the mountains. Freaking, it's terrifying, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it takes so much effort before you even, like, take one turn, you know what I'm saying? You gotta get up there, you gotta get all your gear, you gotta get ready, and you just have to do so much effort. And I tell people that all the time, their first day up at the mountain, I'm just like, you should like give yourself a pat on the back. Give me a pound right now just for getting here, dude.
Yeah.
And you know what you guys have done, like helping people out, just giving out free advice because, you know, you have instructor like background. That's great, dude. That's just like, that makes it so that the sport will keep going. And all this hate and stuff and everything that, like, I've seen, and just, like, the fact that people, like, don't get stoked on stuff that you guys do is just pretty upsetting to me. And I'm just like, why don't you, like, do you guys, like, want your kids to get into snowboarding when you're hating on him and, like, Snowboard Jesus online and stuff? Like, these guys are, the kids are, like, watching all this stuff, and they're taking those videos, and they're putting it out, and they're trying to teach themselves, and that's what's so sick. And maybe they'll take a lesson, but you guys are basically like instructors for the entire world watching you guys, and that's just awesome, dude. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, man.
For sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I grew up in like the culture where, you know, it was just like really grungy, and yeah. You know, people weren't nice, and it wasn't fun. And honestly, like, if you rode across some skiers' skis or something like that, like, that was cool, you know? But it's got to change at some point. You want it to grow.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that with 80% of first-time riders never going again after day one, whether it's a lesson that they've taken or whatever's going on, it's like something's going to change to where more people want to come back.
Yeah.
Where this is easier to learn. And now with prices everywhere, it's like there's got to be a way to get more information out to people that doesn't cost anything, right?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, for the snowboarding of the future, it's super important to have stuff like this going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I really have always enjoyed what you guys have been doing.
Brando, her boyfriend, is really good snowboarder too.
Yeah, he is.
It's fun to watch his progression.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's something that's really cool, is like people that are putting out, you know, videos online, and to be able to, you know, see them in the beginning and maybe give them advice or whatnot, or just watch. And then, like, over a year or two, you, like, see them get better. And it's just like, well, that's so freaking awesome.
I know. It's crazy how quickly it's happening too. It's just like, if you put in time, like if you snowboard, you're gonna get better.
Yeah.
Right?
The more you do it, the better you get.
Yeah. And Meg's like super cool. I sent her, like, she doesn't like consume like all the videos and all that stuff. So like whenever I see like a really well put together like Greenhorn that Gimbal God did, mm-hmm. Judd Hankus, I sent that to her. She was like, "This makes me want to go film." I'm like, "Yeah, isn't it great?" Yeah, I mean, I've been watching Gimbal God since the first Stale Life, honestly.
Yeah.
Because Stale is my personal favorite snowboarder.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Met him at, actually got to ride the chair with him and Gimbal God, just us three, at Holy Bully 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just, I didn't even know what to do. I was like, what is happening? He's like watching you since I was a kid. Oh, yeah. Yeah, to quote Daly and see that we is overstoked. Yeah.
Overstoked.
Yeah. But yeah, little break, but yeah, let's go back into it, dude. So like you said that you started out kind of watching, mentioning like C-Dub, like Casey Willax, like he's from Vermont, you know, he started to like, was that kind of like one of your inspirations to kind of start doing more videos and stuff like that?
Oh, like the snowboarding thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Him and Tommy B.
Tommy B won, yeah.
Tommy B he was teaching people on Instagram, and
yep.
He was getting some traction, and I came across his page and watched it, you know, and started following along, and
yeah,
both of those guys made me really be like, I need to take a camera out with me snowboarding.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I didn't think like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, be this creator or anything like that. I was just like, I wanna take these videos, you know, make videos.
Yeah.
Maybe I can, you know, teach people, or maybe I can just be out there riding. I just wanna see some sick clips.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah, it is an art form, like, doing those. I mean, it's just, I think it's crazy what like, they do when they're, like, every single day, like, especially when Casey Willax was putting out the vlog for a year straight.
Yeah.
I'm like, that takes, like, so his level of dedication is just, I just, his whole vibe of, like, you know, health and body and mind, like, just so sick.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, so let's, like, we all, like, everyone knows, like, you've been blowing up for the last few years, like, you getting all these followers and all this stuff. How did it, like, kind of form into, you know, the company that you now have, as well as, like, you know, bringing on Snowboard Jesus and what he's done and kind of taking it almost into the stratosphere and everything? Like, where, like, how did that kind of, when did it start blowing up for you, and how did that kind of come about? Like, you kind of partnering and trying to help him out as well?
Yeah, these are some good questions. I feel like I haven't really talked to anybody about this stuff. The Shred Happy part was, I wanted a company. Everyone was asking for merch and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to have merch. I didn't want to write Half Cap King on stuff and things like that. I just thought, like, I'd rather have something that's like more meaningful. And, you know, Shred Happy was this name that was just, like, in my head, and I just had it for a while. And I went home and talked to my grandma about it, and she's like, well, let's come up with a design and stuff. And we messed around and, like, drew a bunch of stuff, made my mom and my grandma, and nothing really stuck. And I was driving home, and I drew this symbol on my cell phone.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that's, like, perfect. That's exactly what I want, you know? And I sent it to my grandma. My grandma's like, I love it. My mom's like, I love it. And that was just kind of it. So yeah, so Shred Happy was supposed to be a company, you know, it's based around like positivity and, you know, bringing more people in, breaking down the barriers, the gates, you know, mm-hmm. that have been set, you know, years ago, as far as like making it easy to be in the sport and have a good time. So yeah, so that was Shred Happy. The Snowboard Jesus thing was just kind of like, it's just been crazy. Like, I don't even know what to say about that, you know. I was blown up, I started making some money, and I was able to quit my job.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I want to do this. He's a janitor at the time.
Okay.
And we've been friends for 8-10 years. We met at the bar one night, just drinking, and he was like my bar buddy. We'd tell everybody that we're brothers, and he was just like my wingman, you know?
Yeah.
Or I was his wingman, I guess. But, yeah, so like, you know, learning the algorithms and like how to video and stuff like that. He's like, can you teach me? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely, you know?
For sure.
And his kid had been to my videos and had like 8 million views on my page, the first winner. So I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna give his kid a camera. And I did that, and because the Insta360 gave me two, and I didn't need both of them. So gave his kid the camera, and then, you know, he used it. And just every night we'd make videos. He would do some filming, and I would help him edit it.
Yeah.
I helped him edit his first couple viral clips.
Awesome.
And then from there, it just everything blossomed and just like grew, you know. And he's like, yeah, it's so crazy to think like one day, you know, he could have one or three followers on, you know, TikTok, and mm-hmm. here we are a couple years later, and he's a giant, you know.
Right. You know, it's something that's really interesting too. It's just like, you know, we talk about it at Mountain Vibes a lot, like when should we be posting, like how's it gonna blow up, and I don't know, like the interaction is a big thing too.
Yeah,
you know, comments, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, there's a ton of tricks and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
But the big thing is like if you don't have quality video, and it's not like good content and it's not quality, then it doesn't matter like how many times you post something, it's not gonna blow up. Like,
yeah.
You have to have some good quality content in there. Mm-hmm. A big thing that for me is like, I used to watch nonstop YouTube since like 2012.
Yeah.
So I watch all the old guys, you know, Roman mm-hmm. Atwood and Casey Neistat and the Tally ZDTV. I used to watch those guys nonstop, and I learned stuff from them. And Casey Neistat used to put out a bunch of stuff about like making videos.
Yeah.
And I just like retained all that information. And one thing that was like big for me was like creating stories. Mm-hmm. You have a problem, and then you see this like journey, and then a solution.
Right.
And then with TikTok, if you can put all that into 15 seconds, and it be, you know, some good clarity, you're doing it nonstop. Mm-hmm. And then there's like this like point system. There's so many things. Like when someone's watching a video that's short, and then they comment something, and then you ask them a question, and they go and answer the question, but that's also replaying in the background. So there's like these rewatching points and stuff like that, and like constant commenting. Like there's so many things you can do. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's fascinating, dude.
Yeah. It's a whole world. Yeah. It's like things you can do to, you know, see growth and stuff like that on page.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's something like I've kind of started diving into it, like doing this podcast and stuff like that. But I've always felt like the people that want that, it's their goal to blow up, right? Usually those people are not going to blow up.
Yeah.
It's the people that don't really care, that just want to go out and create content in their own way. Like, you know, Casey's out there showing his life every single day and trying to promote healthy wellness. You and Snowboard Jesus go out, you're trying to help people and stuff. It's good-hearted stuff that can connect not with just the snowboard community, but with the broader community of like the human race, who want to see people do good and help each other and not go by a person and like just go right past somebody who's like fallen on the mountain and be like, you didn't say anything to that person? What if they're hurt? Like,
yeah.
And they need you. What if they don't have any way of calling ski patrol and stuff like that? And that's what I love about like your guys' content. Is just, that's how it should be, dude. Like, everybody's out there to have fun, right? And we don't snowboard to go hurt ourselves. We go to have fun, dude.
Yeah.
Like, we need that adrenaline rush, and we love it. So that's just sick to see, dude. For sure. But yeah. All right, dude. So, you know, we've talked all about it. You know, you're here now and everything. You're kind of traveling the world, you know, living out your dream, you know, like, you know, what's next? Like, what's the big plans for you? Like, you've kind of seen a lot and done a lot in the last, you know, few years.
Yeah.
What's the next big thing for David, dude?
I think eventually I'd like to just kind of step back from creating as much.
Okay.
And be more behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And kind of do what I've done for Snowboard Jesus with other creators.
Yeah.
And just kind of help people grow or brands grow, come up with creative ideas for whether it's videos, editing, things to do. I think that's probably like the end goal. Shred Happy is something I'm really passionate about, but yeah. I don't want to blow up overnight. You notice you'll never see us like make an ad or like post a video and be like, here's this or here's that.
Yeah.
I do have something planned for like, the board that I made is named after my grandmother and has her card on it. I do want to make a video about that.
Oh, that's awesome.
This is kind of for her, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, we want to take this slow ride. And we want to build slowly and build a good core community of people. And okay. I think the same way. So I think, you know, Shred Happy, obviously getting bigger and making it easier for people to get into the sport later on, years to come. I think that's a big thing. But yeah, I probably see myself a little bit more, you know, behind the camera and in front of it years to come.
Okay.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, dude.
Were you expecting me to say that?
No, I mean, I love that, dude. I think that, you know, you've had your time in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that I really like, you know, as instructors and, like, coaches. Like, you know, it's awesome to be seen and do all the videos and stuff, but deep down, we're kind of like, we just want to see, like, those other people succeed.
Yeah.
You know, I love to go out and shred, especially on a powder day and stuff, but... You know, what I get really stoked on is, like, going out and filming somebody who can throw down and getting that clip and sending it to them, and then, like, they're stoked on it.
Yeah, dude, yeah. I love filming riders so much. Yeah. Like, a big part of that 360 when I first had it was because I wanted to film other people up close, you know?
Yeah.
And I still do it and do it for my buddies, but I don't ever post the stuff or anything like that. But, like, you know, the Gimbal God stuff, like, that's totally what I'm into.
Yeah, that was, I mean, gosh. Spenny, dude, he revolutionized anything. I mean, he's the GOAT of, like, filmers to me. Like, he spawned so many other guys that are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And they've just taken it to a whole nother level. But yeah,
it's crazy to see that as well. Like, the ripple effect of, like, the kindness and things like that. Like,
yeah.
Before I was making these videos, like, I never saw wholesome snowboarding content, you know?
Right.
And now there's all these, you know, wholesome creators and guys doing it and stuff, and, like, blowing up. And it's just so cool to see. Yeah. Like, it's literally changing the direction of snowboarding.
Yeah.
And how big it could possibly be.
Yeah. And, like, and along with that, like, the technology of, like, making it easier for people to, like, get into it.
Yeah.
Easier to get into the bindings and all the gear and stuff. That's great, dude. But
it's changing.
Let's finish this thing up with a little rapid fire, dude. Let's go. All right. So
don't trick me.
Okay. Pants or bibs?
Pants.
Okay. Give me your top three favorite/most influential snowboarders in your time.
Okay. I'd have to say, influential in my time.
Just people that, like, you've gotten inspired off of what they did, whether it be video parts or competition, whatever. It can be male, female.
Arrow.
Okay.
Nate Haas from Vermont.
Mountain Vibes rider. Nate Haas.
He's my favorite rider.
Yeah, the big dog. Dude.
I love watching him ride.
I know, dude.
I saw him in the grocery store. I was too nervous to say hello, so I just kind of, like, walked by. He's so good. You, like, see stuff out of him that you don't see other people do, you know?
He's such a good dude.
He's just, like, so technical as well. Yeah, like, yeah, he's a really good guy. Jerry Tucker from Vermont.
Okay.
I think he did the first back-to-back nine, maybe? I don't know, something like that. I know that that was an Olympic winner, right, for Ross Powers. So maybe it was after it. But, yeah, Jerry Tucker, you know, this guy from Ludlow, he would wear, like, just, like, denim stuff, like, dark black, and just, like, yeah, he's just a savage, dude.
Those 90s stylish guys, dude.
Jerry Tucker, man.
Crazy style.
There's another guy, Matt Fortuna.
Okay.
When I was growing up, he was riding for Head, and he just sort of, like, the biggest back tens I've ever seen at the end of the pipe, like, last hit, you know?
Okay.
It was just insane to watch. Nice. Absolutely insane.
Hell yeah. Okay, so what's the worst trend currently in snowboarding?
I'm not sure. Maybe the turtle butts.
Turtle butts, okay. It's not over that.
I just feel like the turtle butts are great for, like, you know, when you fall for an impact.
Of course.
But they're restricting so much movement at the same time. So it's like, okay, you know, you're going to be safe from falling on your butt, but you're also restricting so much movement that you're not learning wrong. You're going to have to learn in a different way later on. So if that's a trend, I guess that's probably it.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that.
I don't want to say bibs because I don't want to hurt anybody. But no, I'm just kidding.
I'd say probably just the hate. I just don't appreciate it. I just don't like hate.
8. I feel like the 8 stuff's been around for a long time. I really don't try to address it that much.
Dude, I was an 8-year-old kid, right?
Just like to thank the listeners again for supporting the podcast, and go ahead and check out our YouTube channel, like, comment, subscribe, and thanks again as always for listening to Let's Talk Snowboarding, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Peace.